Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple there whom he loved, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today, with the whole church, we rejoice to celebrate the centenary of the last of the six apparitions to the Pastorinus in Fatima. This apparition was specifically asked for and foretold. Lucia, in July of 1917, was bidden to ask the woman appearing to her for a sign so that everybody would know that the apparitions were true. Our Lady responded, "In October, I will give that sign." In August, when she appeared to the three, which is a little bit later in the month, she said, "In October, I will give a sign." She reiterated it in September, that next month I will give you the sign. And so by the time today happened 100 years ago, 70,000 people showed up, despite pouring rain, for that sign. This great drama. Mary had told them that she would give the sign when the sun reached its zenith, and the children had interpreted that to mean noon, because normally that's when the sun hits its zenith. But one of the reasons why we change time zones and everything else is to keep things there. And so when noon hit and there was no sign, those who had shown up, and many had shown up, thought that what was happening was just one big fraud, including the communists and the anti-clerical secularists from Lisbon and other places. They were beginning to grumble throughout the pitter-patter of the rain in that enormous throng. But then, as Our Lady was appearing to the three shepherd children, her arms lifted their gaze upward, and they looked, and the sun all of a sudden appeared through the clouds as a great disk that essentially turned into silver, started to change the colors of everything around, including the clothing. Then it started to spin for about 10 minutes, come back and forth, undulate in ways that the various witnesses couldn't help but describe. And at the same time that that miracle, the sun was occurring, there was the desiccation of the entire land of everybody's clothing. There are some who can't explain the miracle of the sun. If it were really happening to the sun, shouldn't it have been seen all over the world, they ask. From a scientific perspective, the answer to that question is absolutely yes. Richard Dawkins, the atheist, tries to argue, if it weren't seen all throughout the world, it couldn't happen. It's difficult to say that 70,000 people were all in one mass hallucination, but nevertheless, that's what we have to say. But you don't hallucinate over your soaking clothes being absolutely dry within 10 minutes. Every physicist will tell you that there needs to be a burst of energy to bring that about that the world has never seen. And so this double miracle of the sun coming down with healing power and desiccating rays, it's a confirmation of everything that Mary had been saying over the course of these 6 months. And we need to take that as the exclamation point of her message. The way we mark today is, of course, to heed what she said to us through the three shepherd children. What did she ask for there? She asked for us to pray. First, to pray the rosary. Second, to pray for the conversion of sinners. Third, eventually when she appeared to Lucy a little bit later, the devotion of First Saturday. But she came down to ask us to pray. Now, sometimes we can look at that just as a command to pray. Jesus, her son, gave us that same command. The apostles, the church, have always given it to us. But one way I think it's fitting to respond is to pray like Mary prayed, and to pray together with Mary. She was constantly praying for the conversion of sinners. And she wanted us to share in that maternal solicitude. Second thing she asked was to unite our sufferings to this prayer of the heart, that she would permit them to suffer in the same way that we are permitted to suffer. It's not a violation of her maternal love that we go through difficulties. With Jacinta and Francisco, they would both die by 1920. But this was a means by which they would be able to pray likewise in the body. It was through that suffering, through their becoming more and more a grain of wheat, they would be able to be brought to the fulfillment of human life at a precocious age. So too, whatever sufferings we're enduring, could be the schedule doesn't work out, could be physical issues, could be difficulties in certain relationships, whatever the hardship, it's a tremendous gift to be sanctified, to be offered to the Lord, so that we can become more and more like her whose immaculate heart was pierced. Third thing she asked is consecration to her immaculate heart. I've never lost the amazement that after she had given the three visions of hell, of communism, and of the sufferings of the church, including religious and priests and lay people scattered as cadavers all over a city, making their way to a cross that was dripping blood into a crystal aspersoria. When you look at that snapshot of the suffering of the church, Mary gave the remedy. If you had asked the popes, if you'd asked Thomas Aquinas, if you'd asked St. Augustine, if you'd asked St. Teresa and all the doctors of the church together, what is the remedy for the sin that leads to hell, the sin that leads to atheist communism and all the destruction that it does, the sin that leads to the persecution of the church? And if you had given all these doctors of the church 100 guesses, I don't think they would have ever come up with what Mary herself said, which was consecration to her immaculate heart. But why is that the remedy? Because as the future Pope Benedict XVI said in his commentary of June 26, 2000, in the third part of the message, a heart that is pure, a heart that treasures God's word, a heart that says fiat to the Lord, a heart that is full of agape, that is stronger than all the bullets and hatred that the world can muster. And we know that that's true, because when her heart said yes to the Lord in Nazareth, the whole history of the world was changed, irreversibly and ultimately for the good. And she wants us to have a heart just like hers. Today is a beautiful day on which to renew our Marian consecration and to pray it as if we were praying it for the first time, to mean it from the depth of our heart. For me, the formula of our I have always used is from De Montfort through Voitia. where it finishes. Prebe mihi cor tuum, O Maria. Give me your heart, Mary. And Mary wants to give us that heart. On October 13th, when Mary was having her final dialogue with the three children together, she asked them once again to pray the rosary every day. She had taught them how to pray the rosary well, so there wouldn't be routine, to say the entirety of each of the prayers, and to meditate on the mysteries with the help of the tapestries of the mysteries in Aljustrel, their parish church. Then she asked that a chapel be built, and the Capolinia is there, where faithful from all across the world continue to go and follow Mary's mandate. They asked for various miracles, and Mary said, some of these will be given, some of them will not be. Today we can likewise ask for miracles, because some of those that were asked were definitely granted, and Mary's maternal love has not run out. As the miracle of the sun was occurring, the shepherd children were able to see in heaven first Saint Joseph and Jesus, as Jesus was blessing the world, and then Mary with Jesus. That was their last image, Mary with Jesus. Saint Mary whom the book of Revelation talks about in today's first reading, the same mother Jesus gave us as he was dying on the cross for our salvation. That mother is always united with her son. That's what our prayer is supposed to do. That's what our suffering is supposed to do. That is what our consecration is supposed to lead to. This consecration in the Mass, in which not only bread and wine become the blessed fruit of Mary's womb, but priests and religious men and women become one body, one spirit in Christ. This is the place in which, together with Mary, we renew our consecration in him who consecrated himself to the Father so that we might be consecrated in the truth. We might not have an apparition today of Mary holding her son. Our clothes are already dry. The sun may come out today, but the reality of Mary seeking to give us her son and to pray that we receive her heart so that we can love that son as he deserves to be loved with all that we have, that is as present today as it was 100 years ago. Let us open ourselves up to receive that heart, that mother, and that blessed fruit. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.